to start off today with a story from when I was a kid. Since we've got all the kids with us, we'll have a picture up on the screen of when I was in kindergarten. And so one day when I was in kindergarten, in the playground, someone accidentally dropped a big tree branch on me. And I kind of got up and I was feeling dizzy, couldn't really walk properly. So the teachers kind of asked one of the older kids to send me up to the sick room. And I was telling the older kid how I was feeling. And they said, "Oh, I've heard that if you're feeling dizzy, that means you're about to go blind." So all of a sudden, I was feeling really worried, anxious, nervous, scared. I'm looking around thinking, this is the last time I'm ever going to see a tree. It's the last time I'm going to see the sky. It's the last time I'm going to see my friends. I'm going blind. I was feeling really worried. I needed someone to help me, someone who cared about me, someone who had the power to help me as well. And thankfully, when I got to the sick bay, the teacher could reassure me, could give me an ice pack, give me some water. And I felt better soon, thankfully. But what kind of things make you worried or nervous or anxious or scared? You see, our worries can really weigh us down sometimes. It can make us feel really heavy, like we're carrying a big weight. So I've got a few weights here, which talk about some things we can all feel worried about sometimes. Maybe you might feel worried about school or university or work. Maybe you feel like you're finding it hard to learn the things you need to learn. Maybe you're always overwhelmed by how much you have to do. Maybe you're struggling to find work or struggling with the cost of living at the moment. There's lots of things we can worry about. We spend a lot of time at school and work or university. Maybe there's things to do with your friends and family that are making you worried at the moment. Maybe you're struggling with your friendships or with singleness or with dating or marriage or parenting. Maybe you're finding it hard to make deep friends. Maybe you're feeling lonely or like you don't quite fit in. And there's various health-related problems. Maybe you or someone that you love is sick at the moment. Maybe you're struggling with mental health or just trying to get good enough exercise, to eat healthy food. Or maybe you're just sick and tired of always being sick and tired. Then there's some of those global issues. Like maybe with all the talk of wars around the world, you're worried about World War III. There's issues like climate change, making you worried about the future of the world. Or artificial intelligence, is that going to take over the world? And maybe you have some worries related to God. What does God think about you? Does he care about you? Is he powerful? What's going to happen when you die? There are all kinds of questions that we might have that might make us worried as we're thinking about God. And so these things can weigh us down, as I was saying. And so what are we supposed to do with these worries that we have? Well, when I was growing up, I had a friend, and at his house, he had a fish up on the wall near the entrance to his house. I'm going to watch a short video that shows what this fish would do as you walk past. So is that the solution to your worries? To listen to a singing fish telling you to don't worry and be happy. It's not really going to solve your worries, is it? Look, I don't want to minimize the fact that having a bit of a laugh at something like that can actually help with your worries. There are all kinds of things that can help with your worries, from sleeping well, getting good exercise, eating well, spending time doing things you enjoy, spending time with friends or talking to a counsellor. Don't want to minimize any of those things. Those are all really important. But today we're going to be thinking about what the Bible has to say about our worries. And so, everyone, but kids in particular, have a look at some of the stained glass windows. If you're going to ask someone on one of these windows for advice when you're worried, who do you think you might ask? So, there's a very nicely, people who look like they have it all together, and some people might be saying Jesus, and Jesus is always a good person to ask. But I want to suggest this guy down here is Peter. He's someone who looks like he's worried, doesn't he? He's sinking. He's worried about the wind and the waves, worried that he might be drowning. Maybe you can relate to Peter, feeling like you're drowning in these circumstances of your life. And so we're actually going to be reading a couple of verses from a letter that Peter wrote to some of his friends who were also going through some really difficult times. We read at the start of this letter, his friends have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So Peter, he's someone who knows what it's like to worry and is writing to people who have lots of worries as well. So let's read again our verses today from 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 7. If they can come up on the screen. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I'll read it again as well. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You see, when you're worried or anxious or nervous or scared, you need someone who wants to help, someone who cares for you, as we read in 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7. But we also need someone who has the power to care, someone who can help you. And Jesus does both. So Jesus is someone who deeply cares about people, and he's someone with unmatched power. So I've got a few actions to kind of help us follow through our three main parts of the talk today. So we need Jesus is someone who cares. So if everyone can make a heart with their hands, Jesus is someone who cares. And Jesus is someone with power, so show your biggest muscles. And so we can trust Jesus. So let's start off by looking at our first point then. Jesus cares. Can you think of someone who cares for you? Maybe it's your mum or your dad. Might be your husband or your wife, or your sister or brother, or a good friend. Well, someone who I think of when I think of someone who cares for me was my grandma. I should say, I've got a bit of a mystery box here with a few props as we're going through. And so a memory I've got of my grandma is that we'd often play this game, Uno, together. And my grandma was really bad at Uno. You see, we'd always get to the end of the game and we'd see her hand and she'd have all the bad cards left. She just couldn't bear to make us draw some extra cards or lose a turn because she cared for us. She didn't want us to suffer through having to pick up an extra four cards. And so I know that my grandma really, really cared for me. But you know what? Jesus cares for you even more. As 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And so how do we know that Jesus cares for us? And there are many ways. As we work through the story of the life of Jesus, we see him spending time with all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds, outcasts, people who are sick, people who are suffering, people who are lonely, people who are known to have done really bad things. He healed them, fed them, taught them, and loved them. And there's another stained glass window I'd like us to all look at today over here, where there's a story where Jesus, some people were trying to bring children to come and talk to Jesus, to have him pray for them. And some people were trying to stop the children coming to Jesus. But Jesus said, no, let the children come to me. You see, Jesus, children, youth, and adults, no matter what age you are, Jesus cares for you. Jesus wants you to come to him. He cares about what you're going through, how you're feeling, and he wants you to come to him. But most of all, if we had to pick one event in the life of Jesus that really shows us that Jesus cares, it would be his death on the cross. And we've been, if you've been at the kids program, or all of us who've heard the song earlier, the memory verse song, 1 Peter 3:18, it's a really great summary of how we see the care of Jesus shown through the cross. You see, you might be worrying, what if I'm not good enough for God? What if I've done too many bad things for him to accept me? Well, 1 Peter 3:18. This is something one of my daughters made during the holiday program, which has the memory verse on it. Christ himself died for you, and that one death paid for your sins. He was not guilty, but he died for those who are guilty. He did this to bring you all to God. His body was killed, but he was made alive in the Spirit. And so on the cross, we see Jesus, the only person who hadn't done anything wrong, the only righteous person. He died to take the punishment that we all deserve. None of us are perfect. We all deserve this punishment of death, but Jesus took it for us. And so he's standing there saying, I care for you. I love you. I've died for you, and I want you to come to me. And as 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So whatever happens, whatever is going on in your life right now, we can know for sure that Jesus cares for us. So what does it look like? We've read this verse. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What does that look like? Well, you can just be honest with Jesus. Tell him what you're worried about. Thank him that he cares about what you're going through. And hand your worries over to him. Your worries about God, about where you stand with him. You know, he's taken the punishment for sin on the cross. And if you trust in him, you don't need to worry about that anymore. Your worries about climate change or wars or AI, hand that over to him. Cast your anxieties on him. Your worries about health or friends and family, hand them over to Jesus. Worries about school or work, hand them over to him as well. So we've seen today that we can, Jesus cares for us. Most of all, through his death on the cross. Now, there are some people who might care for you, but they have no real power. And so someone I thought of who will come up on the screen is King Charles, the King of Australia. Look, he seems to be a pretty nice guy. I'm sure if he heard that someone in Australia had a health problem or was struggling to find a job, I'm sure he'd send his best wishes, his thoughts and prayers. But really, he's so far away, and there's not actually really anything he can do. So we need someone not only who cares for us, but someone who has the power to help as well. So our next point is that Jesus is powerful. Can we all do the big, big strong muscles? Jesus is powerful. So who is the most powerful person you can think of? You might think of someone like Donald Trump, who has lots of political and military power. My son really loves dinosaurs. And look, dinosaurs are pretty powerful as well. And Aaron actually got face painting done at the kids' holiday program. His face painted as a dinosaur. But you know what? Jesus is even more powerful than Donald Trump or a dinosaur. So the next part of our verse is 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. So how do we know that Jesus is powerful? Again, there's so many examples as we look through the life of Jesus. He calmed a storm. He walked on water. He healed people. He drove out evil spirits. He even raised a little girl from the dead. We can see on the stained glass window Peter's experience of this, seeing Jesus walking on water and seeing the storm stopping afterwards, after they got into the boat. Jesus is powerful. Can a dinosaur heal sick people? No. But Jesus can. Can Donald Trump walk on water? No. But Jesus can. Can a dinosaur calm a storm? No. But Jesus can. Can Donald Trump raise someone from the dead? No. But Jesus can. So again, most of all, we see the power of Jesus through one particular story, when he was raised from the dead through his resurrection. You see, Jesus dying on the cross was the first part of the story, but the next part was that 3 days later, he came back to life. He'll be alive for eternity, and it shows that he's defeated sin, he's defeated death once and for all, and it shows that he's more powerful than anything you can imagine. Any circumstance you're going through, Jesus is stronger. When we're struggling with worry, when we're worried or nervous or anxious or scared, it can sometimes feel like we're far away from God. It can feel like these circumstances might be stronger than God. But read Romans 8, 34 to 35 with me. Christ died and was raised to life, and now he is at God's right hand, speaking to him for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The resurrection reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So how are we to respond? Remember what the verse said? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. If we're worried, it's usually about something that we can't control. You see, if I have a box of Weet-Bix in the cupboard and I feel like Weet-Bix for breakfast, I'm not going to be worried about whether I can have Weet-Bix for breakfast. I can just walk over and grab them. They're right there. But there are lots of things that we can't control. Let's have a look at this stained glass window over here with Jesus and the children. There's another story over there where the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child and had him stand among them. "Truly I tell you," he said, "unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So kids, Jesus is actually encouraging all of us adults to be a bit more like you. You see, I think kids are used to asking people for help. I know in my house it's quite common to hear, "Dad, Dad," or "Mom, Mom." Kids realize they can't do everything. Kids realize that they need their parents' help. But really the same is true for us adults as well. We need to realize there's lots of things in our lives that we can't control, but God can. So this verse is encouraging us to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, having an attitude like a humble child who realizes that we can't do it all ourselves, that we need God's help. So we've seen Jesus really does care about his people. Remember our first action? Jesus cares. And now we've seen Jesus is mighty, he's strong, he's powerful, he can make a difference in whatever is happening in our lives. So the third and final point is, we can trust Jesus with whatever we're worried about. One very important worry that some people have is about death. And look, during the kids' program, the kids have been trying to solve this mystery. The mystery of who is this one who is stronger than death? And we've seen today as well that it's Jesus. So a very important question to think about is, what would happen if you died tonight? And if you trust in Jesus, there's no need to worry about that. So if you've never decided to trust in Jesus for the first time, why not make today that day? Trust in Jesus as the one who's your King and your Savior, the one who's powerful and who cares. It'll be the best decision you've ever made. And we'll be able to cast, as Jesus says in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me will live, even though they die." But look, maybe you're here and you still have questions about who Jesus is. A good next step might be coming along to that Introducing God course that Henry mentioned at the start. I've been going along to that one this past term. It's been really encouraging time, just having a really casual, friendly, warm environment to ask questions and find out more about who God is. What Jesus has done for you. So that might be a good next step if you're still exploring Christianity. If you are already trusting Jesus, you might have a big question you're thinking about right now as well. We know we can trust Jesus' power and care for us, but why doesn't God just stop all the hard things in my life right now? Look, I've got some sunscreen here because my son, my two-year-old, really doesn't like sunscreen being put on. And I can understand that. It's kind of a bit slimy and gross. But as his loving father, if we're going out in the sun, I'm still going to put the sunscreen on. And sometimes he just doesn't understand. I think he's be thinking, why is Dad putting me through this suffering of having this unpleasant sunscreen put on my arms? But I'm doing it because I care for him. And I think the same can be true with us and God. Sometimes we just don't understand why we might be going through something that's causing us worry or anxiety or stress, something that's making us scared. We won't always have the answer. But based on what we've seen today, that Jesus is powerful and Jesus cares, there's that middle bit of the verse that is really important. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. You see, we don't understand the timing. We want everything to be easy right now. But listen, what did the verse say? Did it say, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, then your life will always be easy? No. Did it say, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and then you'll be rich and famous? No. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And that due time might be right now. It might be next week. But it might not be until Jesus returns. Peter himself experienced this. In Matthew 14, 30 to 31, we read, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? This was Peter. This was one of Jesus' closest friends. Someone who became one of the most significant leaders of the early church. Even he lost sight of Jesus sometimes. He got distracted by being scared about the winds and the waves. He started to doubt. So we all need to be reminded. But for Peter, Jesus did literally lift him up in due time. And for Peter, the due time was right then, immediately. But for us, it might not be the case. We might not understand why, but we can remember these truths we've looked at today, that he is powerful and he cares. And then we can trust God's timing is what is best. Romans 8, 28. Says, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so we can trust in God's power and care, and that he will lift us up in due time, knowing that he's working out all things for the good of those who love him.